Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, everybody. Good morning to you all, or maybe if you're listening in the evening replay. Thanks for joining us. It's always an honor for me, your very humble radio talk show host. You know when somebody has to tell you they're humble? They're probably not. Just kidding, folks. You got to have a little fun with it, no matter what. Because, you know, the world of politics is a deadly serious business. Because it means, well, it rules everything in your life. And that's why we talk about it, because it's really important that we understand it and that we're able to persuade others to think about politics maybe in a different light. That's why we talk about the things and the way we talk about things here on Political Coffee. Join us, won't you? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or you can shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. jeff@1220.am, and I'll do my darndest to read it on the air. You know, there's going to be a record 32 million Hispanics, quote, that are ready to vote in 2020. Okay. So how will they vote? How do you think that our Republican conservative values, or just say our conservative values, okay? How do you think our conservative values really can speak to a record number of Hispanics in America and how they'll vote? Given the economy, but given other things, like the wall, like the idea that we would have an open border and let anybody in here, and the damage that some of those people can do, not just because they rely on, I think, you know, I watch One America News sometimes. Folks, it's a very conservative cable news network. If you haven't seen it, you ought to find it. They have the cost of illegal immigration updated on a daily basis, and it comes from a number of sources. It's about $200 billion so far this year. Let me just stop for a moment and say that to you. This is the cost of illegal immigration in America. $200 billion. Now, how are the record Hispanics, this record number of Hispanics that may vote? This is a story, by the way, that is, let's see, this is a Washington Examiner story. That are ready to vote. Doesn't mean they're going to, but maybe they're ready to. Okay, so how will they vote? Can our conservative, limited government, free market values that are blessing people's lives every day, is that something that could move that group of voters to vote our way? And it's, look, there's a lot of data here to unpack, and it also relates to the Oregon Business Report. And that's a powerful report because it talks about, and here's the headline, best Oregon economy since the 90s, and a lot of poverty progress in Oregon, okay? And it is about the incredible climb of household income that has just exploded with the Trump economy since Donald Trump got elected, folks, and since his policies have gone into place. And that started almost from day one. And we'll juxtapose that against the Obama economy and the weakest recovery since World War II. But really, does any of this matter if Republicans politically are not smart enough to talk about it? And frankly, if they're not, can we make up the slack? You and I mean, that's the purpose of the show, right? Just to persuade the persuadables. What do we believe? You know, one of our listeners is a very well-educated state employee, and I'm not going to talk about this person's name, but I will tell you this, that this person constantly sends very thoughtful emails to me asking a pertinent question. Will Republican leadership in this state put forward candidates with conservative values and frankly start focusing on what those conservative values are? Now, that gets us back to the failed recall efforts. There is a East Oregonian op-ed about this. Now, folks, the first thing you got to understand about the East Oregonian, it is not a conservative newspaper. I don't care what they say. It is bought and paid for by the establishment mindset. You need to understand this right away. But even the East Oregonian's liberal editorial board, and they are, folks. Believe me, they are. Well, they have an editorial today about the GOP needs to focus on finding candidates, not wasted recall efforts. Okay, is that a logical outcome of where the Republican Party as a party needs to be spending its time and its energy and the message it needs to be putting out there? So how do we, the Republican Party of Oregon has been largely ineffective for a long time in doing some of the most basic things. And really, a party's structure, friends, this is, I think, one of the things that frustrates me about Oregon Republican Party, and through a succession of leadership, it doesn't matter who the head of the chair is. I happen to like Bill Currier a lot. I think he's an honorable man. I think they entered into this with good faith efforts, and I think that there are some benefits to it. We've talked a little bit about that yesterday. But the reality is this. They're ineffective at electing Republicans, and that is their job at the most basic level. Okay, so at the local county party levels, some counties are much better than others. Some counties are much better organized, and that's all about leadership, isn't it? So, and you know this from your personal life, you know it from your professional life, you know it from your family. Leadership is everything. So if leadership in a political party is not effectively communicating a message that resonates with enough people to win elections, what do? If the Republican Party of America, if Donald Trump and the Republicans are not communicating a message that resonates with possibly 32 million Hispanics that could vote in the next presidential, at least nationally in the next presidential election, what does that mean for America? What does it mean for Oregon? Can Trump win? Can Republicans, can conservative ideas really find a home in these people's hearts? And the reason that I say that, because it's not all just about money. It's not all just about a fantastic economy. Because in today's world, it's a lot about how you feel. Yeah, I know. People think with their hearts. I mean, this is one of the challenges we as conservatives think, or face rather, is how do we communicate in an emotional way that grabs people's hearts to think about the broader issues in the context of libertarian value systems. And I don't mean the Libertarian Party value systems. You could say classic liberalism thinking. Not liberalism as we know it today, which is socialist in its nature. But no, how do we communicate? If the Oregon Republican Party is failing to connect with people, and obviously they did if they couldn't get enough signatures to recall Kate Brown, okay, then can we take up the slack? I'm quite serious, friends. This, nobody is more important at selling something than you selling somebody else on something you believe in. This is why, direct sales are, multi-level marketing schemes are, I shouldn't call them schemes. Amway's been around a long time, and they're a great company. And there are other companies out there that use multi-level marketing. And there's a reason why, because person-to-person recommendations are real, and they speak to people. You know, when I pitch to you CBD oil products and their value to me personally, and to people I know and the people I care about, like my family members, my mom and my brother, well, you know what? It should tell you something. It should speak to you in a different way than maybe just listening to a commercial. So, you know, I buy my CBD oil products from Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. And I might as well tell you that they have a great website called vimsalem.com. They have the highest of quality of products out there, of CBD oil products. Can't get you high. There's no THC in it. But it's called CannaShield. That's the brand. And it's sourced from right here in Oregon, which has the highest, the strictest of standards. Believe me, I know. The last 2 weeks, I've been harvesting my hemp, working myself to the bone to comply with the highest of standards. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial. Now, I mean it when I say that's where I buy my CBD oil products from, because it is. And it works for me. That is a personal testimonial that is real. I'm not kidding you. It's real. When it comes to speaking to people about the benefits of conservatism and voting for conservative ideas, well, doesn't that mean that you're able to influence people far greater than some slick TV ad or a mailer that goes out or anything that anyone would say, frankly, even on a radio station, a radio show like this, or any other communication? You have the ability, because of your belief in what you know is right, to speak into people's lives. So, with this record 32 million Hispanics that could vote in the next election, how do we reach them? How do we reach them for our conservative values? How do we reach other minorities, like Asians that are here in America, like Black Americans of different colors? How do we reach them? Is it just about money? Is it just about a great economy? Or is it about them living a better life? Isn't that, and hasn't that always been the promise of America? I say it has. It's that hope. You know, Barack Obama came along, right? And he said, hope and change, hope and change, hope and change. People bought it. Because you see, hope is every bit, I think, as a powerful motivator as fear is. Now, fear is very powerful. You know this. Just watch the stock market when Trump has a negative tweet about China or something, and the algorithms, the computer trading systems pick it up, and the you get a flash cast dump, and the stock market goes way down. Well, that's because of fear. But is hope a strong enough emotion for conservative values, if they're presented properly, to win the day, and not just elections, but hearts and minds forever? What do you think? You're listening to Political Coffee, 503-589-1220. Would love to get your perspective back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour. We're back. Great to have you with us. So if the Republican Party of Oregon is, well, not viewed, let's say, positively because of the failed effort to recall Governor Kate Brown, and you get these editorials written like this one today, which, by the way, you can see if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. But the East Oregonian newspaper, a liberal newspaper, says GOP needs to focus on finding a candidate, not wasted recall efforts. Well, first of all, had they been successful, well, they wouldn't have called it a wasted effort, would they? Well, maybe if they had lost the campaign. But you have to understand is that there was money promised to the Oregon Republican Party to come in here to defeat Kate Brown based on her support for national popular vote. It would have come from other states and other places. Okay? So that's a reason to do it. But, you know, for the things we talked about yesterday in terms of what were the benefits to it. Now, I don't necessarily think there's going to be a backlash to this, like one particular email writer said to us yesterday. But this, it doesn't make the Oregon Republican Party look like they are together. Like they're capable of, I mean, you got 700,000 Republicans. You can't get 288,000 of them valid signatures to just Republicans alone. Now, one of the things in this editorial, by the way, today by the East Oregonian is they acknowledge that, yeah, there were a lot of voters, and I quote, a lot of voters in Oregon don't like Brown. They don't like her policies or her political philosophy, especially east of the Cascades. The governor's popularity isn't as high in some areas as she or her supporters would like. In other sections of the state, they admit, the governor doesn't face that problem and her policies are considered sound. That is true. You get into the Portland metro area, you get into any of the big cities, Eugene, even Bend. You will find that her ideas, even though she is personally not a whole lot, there's just something grating about Kate Brown. She's got that Hillary Clinton problem. You heard me say that many years. She just doesn't have the charisma. She doesn't, just isn't that nice, warm person. Now, Donald Trump isn't either, folks, but the reality is that you expect something a little bit different in our culture anyway. I think you do, and I think most voters do, out of a woman. That may be right or wrong, but you don't expect women to be men. Except in Oregon, of course, where transgenderism is okay. Now, we know that Kate Brown's a bisexual, but will she come out as a transgender? I'm just kidding, folks. That's a diversion. But the reality is this. We live in two Oregons. We all know that. The Republican Party has to be able to speak to all Oregonians. They didn't do a very good job of that. So whose job is it? Is it our job individually? Of course it is. You have the ability to persuade the persuadable. So how do you do that? Conservative values. What are our conservative values? I mean, that's every time we talk about these things. So there's a story. Okay. So is wasting money a conservative or a liberal value? You know, my group, Oregon Capital Watch Foundation, has said for years, kind of our unofficial motto has been, liberal or conservative, nobody wants their tax dollars wasted. I would agree totally. There's a headline on Drudge Report today, and this is a story from the Politico. NASA paid Elon Musk millions to make sure his employees don't smoke pot. I am not kidding you. After Elon Musk, who does smoke pot, he did it the other, you know, did that on that show that made the news. NASA decided to pay SpaceX, which is Elon Musk's organization that's, you know, launching rockets into the space and yada, 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 agreed him to pay another $5 million to cover the cost of reviewing and educating their employees to make sure that they're following strict guidelines of federal contractors that bar illegal drug use. So we, the taxpayers, not only are funding Elon Musk with all kinds of subsidies for Tesla, everything else, but now we had to pay $5 million more. My point to you is this. That's not a liberal or conservative value. It's dumb for us to pay, you and I, take money out of our pockets to pay a guy for something that Boeing, who is competing with SpaceX for a number of NASA projects, Boeing had to do the same review, but they did it under their current contract, didn't get any extra money. Why did we give more to Elon Musk? The only reason Elon Musk is worth billions is because we, the taxpayers, have subsidized everything the guy does. You need to understand that, folks. Now, is that a liberal or conservative thing? In the issue, is it fair? Is it fair to you, the taxpayer, that a company like Boeing, yeah, which sometimes pads its contracts, there's no question about it, but they get treated differently than politically correct wonder child Elon Musk? How is that good for you? How does that benefit you? Is it fair? Now, what have I just said to you? I've rolled into one ball, shall we say, the issue of financial accountability and what's right, along with an emotional sense of what is fair. So when we're talking about things like the Oregon Republican Party connecting or not connecting with people, and we should connect with people to take their place, how do we do that? Well, you take things like what we just talked about, and you make it relevant in your world, in your discussions to other people's lives, so that these minority groups, the record 32 million Hispanics that may in fact vote in 2020, understand that it's policies and it's the philosophy behind the policies that are making their life better. It's not just record low unemployment. It's the record income gains. And if you go to the Oregon Business Report story here, the best income gains. But why is that happening? Well, let's talk about that. That's the opportunity because, well, that's how you change minds. It's how you help people see the light, right? 6:30 in the morning. What do you think? 503-589-1220. Is it possible for you and I to take the place of the Oregon Republican Party? Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes till the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, what we're talking about is, you know, the failed Republican Party and other effort, the recall petition that failed, both of them, has led to, well, some thinking about what should the Republican Party focus on. Well, the East Oregonian editorial is saying they should focus on finding a candidate that can win a statewide election and not recall efforts. Okay? So if the Oregon Republican Party obviously didn't connect with enough people, if that's the case, can we take their place? Can we connect with people at the most basic level? Because you see, there's a record 32 million Hispanics that could be voting in 2020. How do we reach them? Is a good economy enough? Or do we have to talk about the principles behind why we have a good economy and why their life is getting better? The story in the Oregon Business Report, which you can see if you go to OregonWatchdog.com, talks about how Oregon, and this is from the State Economist, by the way, wage growth is skyrocketing and has been under the Trump economy. Is that enough? But even more importantly, why is that happening? Why didn't it happen under Obama? Why is it happening under Trump? Now, these are questions you can ask to persuade the persuadables. Don't waste your time on the other people that have bought the lie of the left, that socialism and regressive totalitarian Marxist thinking, which is prevalent in Oregon leadership with Kate Brown and Tina and Peter. You know the old saying? And callers, hang on, 503-589-1220. I'm going to get to you in just a moment because one more point I want to make about this. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Here's the point. You know that old saying? You give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. What's that about? Well, it's helping people see that there's a different way they can live. They can work, they can be prosperous, changing how they think about things from that of, I'm dependent upon government, I'm dependent upon others, to the work ethic that I can work hard, I can provide for myself, I can provide for my family, and that gives me a better life rather than being, well, just subject to the crumbs of what government gives me from the government table. It's the light bulb going on in people's heads. They understand the principle behind why the economy is good and wage growth is exploding and has been, because that makes your life better. But it's even deeper than that, isn't it? Well, we'll get to that in a moment, but I got to get to the phones. We'll start with our first caller. Caller, who are you and what do you have to say this morning? Good morning.
Hello. Are you talking to me?
I am. Is this Rebecca?
Yeah. Hi, this is Rebecca.
Okay.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's not the Republican Party. The Republican Party is just a bicycle that people ride. It's just a way of organizing people. The people who are in the party are who are important. They are the ones who steer the party where it's going to go. And to become a part of the Republican Party and become a part of the steering process only requires 3 votes. A person needs to file to become a precinct committee person. And years ago, there was a lady, a homeschool lady, who she was concerned because the Republican Party was so leftist at that time. And it really was. We've come a long way since then. But she signed up 200 homeschoolers. And for a while, we took over the leadership of the party. Anyway, she drastically changed the party here in Marion County by getting so many homeschoolers involved. Unfortunately, there were a lot of people who were very unhappy with the fights that go on in the Republican Party, and they went and joined the Constitution. They started the Constitution Party. That's just deciding not to be part of the fight. But I've been asked over and over again to run for office in the Constitution Party. And I say to people, no, I'm going to stick with the Republican Party because that's where the fight is. I haven't run for office in the Republican Party either, but I try to do what I can.
Rebecca, you said in the beginning of your call, and our other caller, I want you to hang on because I'm going to get to you in just a minute here. But Rebecca, you said in the beginning of your call, Republican Party is only a bicycle. So what happens if the bicycle breaks down? How do we still move forward? Do we do it individually, one by one?
Okay, you have a point. If the bicycle gets destroyed, sometimes bicycles need to be abandoned. You are correct. But in my, I don't, maybe I'm idealistic, but I don't think the bicycle is destroyed. I think the people who should be guiding it are destroyed because we don't sign up to be PCPs. And when people do sign up to be PCPs, they don't really know how to, okay, just to give you one story, I talked with a lesbian couple who signed up to be PCPs in the Republican Party to turn, their goal was to steer the Republican Party toward homosexual marriage. And they were just chatting with me at, before one of the hearings, and they said, we left the Republican Party because they're too conservative. So there are many things that the Republican Party has that are good, and one of them is a strong moral base in the development of the party platform.
Okay, so, that is a piece of the puzzle to what we're talking about today. And I'm glad you mentioned that. Rebecca, I got to let you go because I need to move to the next caller. Next caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say?
Jeff?
Hello? Yes, who's this?
Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can. You're on, buddy.
First of all, Jeff, thank you very much for the reminder Friday about the gathering of eagles. I probably wouldn't have remembered it if you hadn't said that on your show. It was a great time, good speakers. Kevin Stennett was there. A spokesman for the truckers was there. Good time. Beautiful new facility that has been built since I was there last time.
Yeah, and it's really, Ron, I got to tell you how bummed I was that even though I was scheduled to be there and MC the afternoon, I couldn't do it because I just, my replacement in hemp harvest didn't show up. So, I've got to get my crop harvested. But I really appreciate the fact that you were there.
Looking for you. I heard Bill Currier, he was the closeout speaker. I just thought I'd mention this to you as far as the failed recall effort. Of course, we did not know this Saturday. I didn't hear this until yesterday on your program. But Bill said we had to get two times the number of signatures for any other initiative petition, and it was only a one quarter of the time.
That is true.
I would just like to say, the harvest was ready, but we did not harvest it. I personally turned in close to 600 signatures. Okay.
Wow, that's fantastic. Good
it
for you.
It would have only taken Jeff 500 people in the state of Oregon, in the entire state, doing the same thing, and we would have had our 300,000 signatures. I would say
let me ask you this. All right. So fair enough, Ron, and you'd be committed for doing that. Do you think the Republican Party should try it again, another recall effort?
Not unless they do a better job of communicating. Can I give you one example?
Sure.
Here's a little fact that I observed. At places like the farmer's market where I was on Saturday, at places like the entry to Winco Foods all day Sunday, 1 out of 10, the people were very enthusiastic who pulled in or who signed, but 1 out of 10 at the minimum said they had been looking, they did not know where to sign the petition. We could have done a better job of getting the opportunity to the voters to sign, including, I would think, maybe a few announcements on programs like Case CCS 1220.
All right, so let me ask you this closeout question, and then we'll be to the break, and then Art, I want you to hang on over the break, and we'll go to Art when we come back. But so, how do we communicate? So there, obviously, Ron, there were people who are not happy with Kate Brown. I get it, you get it.
Oh, yeah.
But how do we convince them? Well. We'll have to talk about that at a later time. Ron, thank you for calling.
We're looking for to put this thing over, but I think we could have got the opportunity out, done a better job of communicating how to do that to the people.
I think you're right, Ron. It's appreciate the call. 6:48. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Back, for the last segment for today. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Yesterday, Dwight wrote me an email at the end of the show. It said, Jeff, about targeting... target of Kate Brown, being a target of Kate Brown. Jeff, those people don't realize they were afraid to sign the petition, is that they are a target one way or another. If you disagree with Kate, you're a target. One way, how profoundly correct. One way or the other, you're a target. And then Lee wrote me an email, said, you can't do that. For the most part, conservatives believe in a core set of values, which are based on loving your neighbor. They have an opinion on what is right and choose to live their life to conform to their beliefs. The other groups are so against another person telling them how to live their life, they attack the one group that would love them regardless. It's interesting, in this group wants to crush the conservative beliefs for a loose, unstructured, anything-goes system that can turn on them with the controls and restrictions they say they don't want. I've yet to see a conservative stop grandpa and grandma from crossing the street because they assume they are living in sin. Why do they think conservatives are forcing them to change? Because they have lost the ability to have a conversation without jumping to the attack. We need not just one person, but a group of Republicans to unite Oregon for all Oregonians. Interesting, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. We'll go back to, we'll go to Art. Art, good morning. What do you think today?
Well, I think the last person that you just read was absolutely right. We have to build an infrastructure, Jeff. Kind of like they have in the South. You know, the South only has one Democratic governor, and that's probably going to change here next month. But the reason why is they have infrastructure, they have principles, they work together instead of against each other. Take, for instance, Mr. Carpenter's remarks yesterday. Instead of us cohesively gathering together and work for a common goal, we're not going to get everything we want, Jeff. Nobody ever gets everything they want all the time. And until the prima donnas in Oregon, you know, get off their high horses and say, hey, if I don't get my way, I'm going to go home, instead of working together for the common good and the common goals, you know, Oregon's going to continue to flounder on the conservative side of things.
So do you think that we don't do a good job then of, not as a party? Let's just set the party aside. What about us individually? Can we do a better job of espousing to the people in our world the benefits of conservative values?
Well, absolutely. You know, Rebecca was talking about the gay couple. I'm not, the Republican Party's too conservative because we're gay, so we're not going to participate. Well, the simple fact of the matter, my answer to those individuals as a conservative, hey, the only one that's going to judge you is God. I happen to not agree with you, but I'm not going to condemn you. You know, we got to work for the common good, you know, jobs, lower taxes, et cetera, et cetera. And then on the other thing, the Bible says, judge ye not unless you be judged. So those are the kind of attitudes that need to change in the Republican Party, and we got to work together for the common good.
So you're not suggesting, though, or are you suggesting, that these traditional family values and conservative values, like not being in favor of gay marriage, like not being in favor of abortion, you're saying those things should change?
Hey, Jeff, what I am saying is, okay, I disagree with homosexual and all that kind of stuff, okay?
But it shouldn't be in our party platform?
I think marriage and all that kind of stuff should be out of it. We should be talking about lower taxes, and the social stuff should be up to the individual and not to the Republican Party.
All right, Art, thanks for your thoughts today, brother. I appreciate it. 4 minutes till the top of the hour. The reality of all of this is that it comes down to something even deeper than the money part of things. You know, the story today about how strong the individual income in Oregon is, I mean, it's 24% higher, the wage growth in Oregon, than the rest of the nation, folks. Okay. What does that mean? How did that happen? How is so many good things happening to so many people? It's because of a political philosophy of life. It's not just a constitutional republic. It's what it's based on. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Those principles, they are timeless principles. You see, when you're talking with someone, talking about how maybe they don't like Republicans because of the conservative issues like Art just talked about, conservative social issues. Well, how about all the other issues? You like your wage growth? The Republican Party stands for not only strong wage growth, conservatism stands for good governance, not wasting your money like paying Elon Musk and SpaceX $5 million to make sure their employees don't smoke dope. But it stands for something even deeper than that. Conservatives stand for something even deeper than that. Not just the party. Here's what it is. It's called liberty. And that's what Lee was getting to in his email. Liberty is a timeless principle. Man is born with it. Our right to determine our own destiny. And that means you can start a business. You can choose to go to work for somebody. It means that our form of capitalism offers hope to people. Hope, again, is that powerful emotional argument. So is what we have to do is communicate the benefits of conservatism to not just your pocketbook, but to your liberty, your right to live free, free of government telling you what you have to buy. Like health insurance, or what kind of car you have to drive, or what kind of power you have to buy from your power company. Is it sustainable? All of that is a loss of liberty, not to mention your right to say whatever you want to say, your right to preach whatever you want to preach from a pulpit. All those things are what need to be communicated by us to other people. The benefits of conservatism are individual liberty. Don't you think? We'll be back tomorrow, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you to each and every one of you for participating today. Make it a great day. See you tomorrow.